The Cavalcade of America, winner of the Peabody Radio Award for Outstanding Entertainment in Drama, sponsored by the DuPont Company. Tonight, Brian Dunleavy and Ann Baxter star in My Wayward Parent, the warm and touching and humorous story of an American writer and his family on The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry. Better things that include DuPont Rayon Yarn, DuPont Paints and Varnishes, Neoprene, DuPont Synthetic Rubber. This evening, the tables are turned as we tell the behind-the-scenes story of a great storyteller, Irvin S. Cobb. The DuPont Company presents My Wayward Parent, adapted from his daughter Elizabeth's forthcoming book of the same title, starring Brian Dunleavy as Irvin S. Cobb and Ann Baxter as Laura Cobb on the DuPont Cavalcade.
I'm Elizabeth Cobb, the daughter of Irvin S. and Laura Cobb. It's always been a wonder to me how my parents happened to take to each other. Laura Spencer Baker came from the conservative old town of Savannah, Georgia. Irvin Shrewsbury Cobb had been brought up in the lusty river town of Paducah, Kentucky, where he'd been covering barroom brawls and waterfront fights and fish fries since he was 16. They would never have met except that Laura went to visit her school friend, Nell Thornberry, in Paducah.
Here's the train. Are you all ready, Irvin?
Ready, anxious, and willing, Miss Nell.
You better start the music now.
All right, boys, let's go.
Someone famous on this train?
Oh, no, it's all for you, darling. The boys arranged a welcome.
All this for me?
Uh-huh.
The band and everything?
Your humble servant, Miss Laura. Welcome to Paducah.
Oh, well, thank you.
Come on, honey, get down.
Is that step too high? Put your foot in my hand, Miss Laura.
Oh, no, I can't.
Irvin, behave.
Can't you see I'm on my knees to you, Miss Laura?
Well, you can get right smack up and dust them off.
Come along, Laura.
Yes, yes, I will. Where's the carriage? Oh, let's hurry now.
Your carriage, Miss Laura? Right here before you.
Oh, no. No, not that.
It's all right, Laura. Come on, get in.
Nell, I won't.
Come on, up you go. That's it.
I won't travel like this through the public streets. All covered with banners like a circus wagon.
Well, there's not much we can do about it now, honey. They're starting the parade and they'll get us home. Oh, don't put up your parasol, honey. Everyone in town wants to see you.
I could just die of shame. Now, who did this?
It was Irvin's idea, I guess. He usually has ideas.
Irvin? That tall, homely boy with his socks falling down?
Yes, the one who played Sir Walter Raleigh. His name's Irvin Cobb.
I tell you, Nell, next time I see him, I'll make him a fool out of me.
Why, he's the funniest boy in town.
Funny? You think this is funny?
Well, I think it is. And you know something? Irvin Cobb is crazy about you at first sight.
Well, even if he is, I hate him at first sight. Oh, Mr. Cobb, that was a wonderful story. You sure have a powerful imagination.
I have indeed, Miss Laura, if it's brought kind words from you.
Well, no more words, kind or unkind. It's late, Laura and I are tired, so you'll have to go now, boys.
Oh, you treat us like a pack of slaves, Miss Nell.
Oh, nonsense. Now, shoo, Irvin, we're tired.
Well, all
you
right.
You really have to go,
Miss Laura.
Yes, Mr. Cobb?
You won't forget me in one night.
I reckon I can't forget you, Mr. Cobb.
Well, then I can stand the separation. Good night. Good night, Nell.
Good night.
Good night, Nell. Good night.
Oh, Laura, wasn't it a lovely party?
Oh, let's go upstairs. Just let me fall into that lovely bed. I never spent such a day.
Yeah. Two runaways, a fight at the picnic over who would sit next to you, You know, I should be jealous.
They're the wildest boys I ever saw, Nell.
Oh, and you're so proper in Savannah.
Well, Savannah boys are gentlemen.
Well, Paducah boys are men with lots of get up and go. And right this minute, one of them's fixing to marry you, Irvin Cobb.
You don't mean it.
He is, Laura.
He'd be a sight proposing. I can just see him, beetling his eyebrows and sticking out his lower lip and croaking like a bullfrog.
Now, don't try to put on with me. He absolutely fascinates you.
He's serenading us, Laura.
Come on to the window. Oh, look at Irvin with that big bouquet.
Oh, catch it, honey. I caught it.
Thank you. Thank you, Irvin.
Look now, sweet peas.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Irvin, I bet we haven't got a sweet pea left.
Oh, just wait till morning and Mother sees our garden.
But how can I marry you, darling?
Oh, I know. My family tree looks like something that sprouted down cellar.
Oh, no, it's not that. You're a southern gentleman born and bred. But what will we live on?
Well, I'm making $18 a week.
And supporting your mother and sisters.
But they can't work. Ladies don't work, Laura.
I don't mean that, Irvin. I think it's wonderful what you've done for them.
Well, Laura...
Well, I wrote home to the folks in Savannah about how you started on the newspaper when you were 16... and were managing editor when you were 19, the youngest in the country. Working and writing when a Savannah boy would be away at school and having fun.
Laura, will you marry me?
But you see, I'm used to an easy life in Savannah. And Paducah seems so uncivilized.
Paducah uncivilized?
Trouble at the waterfront and everybody toting a gun. And you're always in the thick of it. Why, I'd never know when my husband might be killed.
Laura...
What, Irvin?
You said it, and you can't back out of it.
Well, what did I say?
You called me your husband, and even though it was concerning my getting killed, I take it as a verbal contract.
But, Irvin, I can't.
I'll work like blazes for you, Laura. I'll work like blazes.
Work. My father worked like Billy Blue Hill. He started his own newspaper. One that he wrote, edited, put together, and all but sold on the street single-handed. Then once when a couple of notorious Chicago criminals were captured near Paducah, Irvin went right off to cover the story. But he was young and green, and so he only sent the Chicago Tribune one colorless paragraph.
There, that does it, Irvin.
Well, that squib ought to be worth a sawbuck, which no doubt I'll squander in riotous living. Well, good night, George.
Hey, wait, Irvin. They're answering you.
What?
They say, sounds like big story. Write it fully.
Big story? I'll make it a big story. I'll make it $20 worth. Give me that pencil, George. Now, here's spinning a yarn for them. Listen to this. The jail is a small, mildewed, rickety structure. Inside, it's a dark, unventilated cubbyhole of a place with blank brick walls on two sides... and rows of cells on the other two.
Were you inside the jail, Irv?
The prisoners are in the largest of the cells. The jailer has put a heavy leg iron on them and made the chains fast to the bar.
But did you see them, Irvin? Is that a fact?
The jig is up with them, and they know it. And they are ready and willing to talk about their achievements.
Are they, Irvin? Is that a fact?
Don't annoy me with facts, George. They hamper my style and circumscribe my fancy. Just send the story as I write it.
That makes almost 5,000 words, Irvin.
5,000? Great jumping Moses. Oh, but I can't stop now, George. Here's some more. Just keep sending it. George, what do they say? Are you sure the Trib wants all this? I'd hate to have to pay the toll if they didn't.
Well, here, read what they say.
Let it all come. Spread yourself. Signed, Joseph Medill. Brother, make that key big for mercy, George. Well, we sure made a night of it. Lordy, am I a tired man. Uh-oh. Maybe they changed their minds, huh?
No, Irvin. Listen to this. Good stuff. Good boy. Good night. Good night.
quit pacing, darling. You're dog tired. Come here, sit at the foot of my bed.
Good stuff. Good boy. Good night. That's what they said, Laura.
I'll bet you made that story tonight as big as Moses dividing the Red Sea.
Why, how'd you know?
I know you. You can't read the baby a fairy tale without stretching it, putting in funny bits and scary bits. Buff thinks the grim stories all happened in Paducah.
Well, maybe they did at that.
You ought to be writing real stories, Irving, for magazines.
I do write them and publish them in the wastebasket.
I know. And I was thinking tonight, your stories will just stay in the wastebasket unless I blast them out. Irving, this town's too small for you.
There's a dirty old majority says I'm too small for the town.
You're going to New York, Irving. I've made up our mind.
New York?
Yes.
But, Laura, I get by here, and there are a million like me in New York.
There isn't anyone like you anywhere.
Oh, I'm just a small-town boy, Laura. No education. Those city papers are too big for me.
You made good with the city newspaper tonight, didn't you?
Well, that's different.
Look in my top dresser drawer, Irving. On the right side.
Oh. You need a handkerchief?
Underneath my gloves. Find it?
Money? Why, how...
I wrote to Father, Irving. He believes in you, too. That's the money you're going to New York with.
$200, but you and Buff have to live.
We're going home to Savannah.
But maybe I won't get a job right away.
Oh, sure you will. And I'll write every day.
But, Laura, you won't be scared?
Not a bit. Not a teeny bit. Oh, Irvin, of course I'm scared. But you've got to go.
So Irvin landed in New York in August. And in August, the New York newspapers lay off old, experienced reporters. But he had an inspiration. He wrote a letter and sent it to 13 managing editors, saying...
This is positively your last chance. A modest appreciation of my own worth forbids me doing business with your head office boy any longer. Unless you grab me right away, I will go elsewhere and leave your paper flat on its back right here in the middle of a hard summer. The line forms on the left. Applications considered in the order received. Triflers and professional flirts save stamps. Write, wire, or call at the above address.
Son, are you the boy who wrote me this idiotic letter?
Yes, sir, I am.
You really think my paper needs you?
I think that I'm that opportunity that knocks but once, sir.
Well.
Of course, it's up to you, sir.
Well, I hope you have half as much ability as you have gall.
Then I'll take it I'm hired.
You're hired. $15 a week.
You are listening to Brian Dunleavy as Irvin S. Cobb and Ann Baxter as Laura Cobb in My Wayward Parent on The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry. Now, with the second act of our play, Elizabeth Cobb resumes her story of the Cobb family.
Now, in 1904, New York was a fascinating place. But Irvin was desperately lonely. He knew no one. He tramped from Hoboken to Hell Gate, the dark alleys, the bright thoroughfares, sopping up impressions. And all the time, he was hungry for home. Came Christmas, and he near died of loneliness. He wandered into a deserted bar.
Well, drink up, mister.
Oh, you're closing?
Yeah, I got Christmas dinner waiting at home.
Christmas dinner. You know, down Paducah, we'd be having wild turkey that's all to the Hail Columbia happy land and mashed potatoes, whipped with enthusiasm and overflowing like drifted snow.
I can see you like good victuals. Where is Paducah?
Paducah, Kentucky. Yes, sir, as long as I can remember, I've been a sincere and earnest eater.
Yeah.